Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino-American National News. I'm Alan Bunju. On tonight's show, we have two special guests. We have one currently in studio, and I think one is still currently in transit. But we are happy to have on the Filipino-American National News the new artistic director of Theater Mu, Fran De Leon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
And later we'll be joined by an individual that is going to have a written piece that he's having debut this coming weekend, a person by the name of Kyle, is it Kamai?
Yes. Kyle is one of our seven playwrights that we're going to hear some of their work this weekend at Theater Mu's New Eyes Festival, which we'll be holding at the Playwright Center for three performances. We actually have two, which are the 10-minute plays. Kyle is one of those playwrights. And then we also have on Sunday, the finale is a little taste, a little little sneak peek, work in progress of our spring world premiere, Katie Kavang's Hmong Futures.
And you took the helm in April of 2025. For our listeners that are not familiar with Fran De Leon, could you tell us a little about yourself?
Sure. I'm actually a Los Angeles native, and I've been I started producing theater when I was 19, just in those scrappy ways of wanting to get our work out there in any way possible. I think the very first thing that I ever produced, we ended up talking a restaurant owner who had his place closed on Monday nights and had a little space. And I said, just open it up for a couple of hours. You'll make a little bit of money and we get to do a little play here. And so it's just always been what I've wanted to do as an actor initially, as a singer, musical theater. And then I really started focusing more on acting. And then it shifted. I was doing a lot of new works, working with playwrights. And suddenly those playwrights started asking me to direct their readings and their workshops. And then those became full productions. And cut to 30-something years later when I got an email from the search committee asking me if I would consider moving to the Midwest. And fast forward, here we are.
And what is the big difference from seeing the stages from an actor's perspective and from a directional perspective?
Sure. Well, you know, as an actor, when you're in the midst of it, It takes up your whole world, your whole brain when you are in rehearsal, when you're on stage, and even when you're at home and you're working on your lines and doing your homework. As a director, you're having to think like an actor to be able to help guide them and bring them to the emotional life that you have in your vision. You have the overall vision as well. So it's about translating that to your designers, your scenic, your costume, your sound, your lights. Video projections happen a lot now as well. And so you come in with that vision and you kind of have to rally everybody to get on board with you and create this life, visual, audio, and then, of course, the actors that are there. You have to learn how to speak a lot of different languages because every actor is different. Everybody receives things differently. And certainly, same thing with designers. So it's about really an overview of everything. You have to just keep on top of it all. But it's wonderful when it all works. And it's also wonderful when it's scary and you're not sure if it does work, but you try it anyway.
And why do you feel that theater is important to community?
I think community is the word right there. You know, we are present in a room. Lights may be dimmed where we are sitting, but we are experiencing something that only those people in that theater on that night will ever experience. It is never replicated. Once a live theater performance is done, it is out into the ether and, you know, to the elements be free, as Shakespeare said. So it's an incredible experience for us to have. We're really... here I go. I'm going to quote Shakespeare again, of hold as it were a mirror up to nature. And it really is about being able to represent each other to be able to recognize each other from the house to what is being portrayed on stage. For me, it's about the conversations that happen afterwards. I absolutely love when a lobby is large enough for an audience to hang out afterwards and talk about what we've seen. Because, you know, not only is that entire audience seeing something for the first time, regardless how long a show has been running, it is different every time because it's live. You have that live element there. But everybody who is watching this show is experiencing something else, whether they're relating to it personally or they're recognizing a family member or, you know, a friend. It's an experience for us to really be able to come together. And I think it's how we're going to understand each other.
And just a reminder to our listeners, we have Fran DeLeon, who is the artistic director at Theater Moo. From January 23rd through the 25th, they have the New Eyes Festival, which will be taking place at the Playwright Center in St. Paul. So before you took this job with Theater Moo, what was your perception of Theater Moo? What did you know about Theater Moo?
Well, I knew it was the second largest in the nation, the largest in the Midwest. It had an incredible reputation. So many of the people that I respect who are in the theater world had worked here. And, you know, the theaters that are specific to a demographic are still so important. I think that sometimes because we have been able to break through a little bit more, certainly here in the Twin Cities with an amazing amount of theater that's going on, and you can go to a theater and see an Asian American actor up there. And so I think there could easily be the perception, well, do we still need a specifically Asian American theater company? And the answer is yes, absolutely. Because as people will hear this weekend, the voices are specifically coming from AAPI writers. And there's a perspective that is really important. There is a history. There's an American history. I think that's also something for us to definitely flag and track. I was just saying the other day, you know, as Asian American artists, I don't want us to live in a silo. We live in this country. We are part of the fabric of the United States of America. We're not just a separate spool that's off to the side. We are woven in there. And our stories are your stories. Kumail Nanjiani said it best, where, you know, some people think, okay, well, if I'm not Asian American, then I'm not going to relate to this show or these characters. And Kumail said, well, I grew up my entire life relating to white stories. You can do it. It's easy.
I think one of the unique things, at least in the history that of myself watching Theater Moo plays, is there's almost this knack, I think, without even trying, that some of the plays that have taken place that you guys have produced have been so timely to what has been going on at the society at large. So
yes,
it's interesting to see what things you'll have coming up in the near future.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's, you know, the irony of the prompt that we gave playwrights across the nation. We wanted to cast a wider net to be able to really attract more writers, and also to give the opportunity to more writers, and also for other writers and other parts of the country to know about Theater Moo. And the prompt was, what does freedom mean to you? And boy, is that not an apt question for what is going on right here, right now.
Well, right now, we're going to give you a bit of a break. I think I might see Kyle on the screen on our security cam here. For right now, we're actually going to play an artist, someone I haven't seen in a while, but I think he followed me on Instagram by following Theater Moo.
Uh-huh.
So it's a person by the name of Bob Kelly, and the song
yes.
we're gonna play is I Know Where I'll Be in. Hopefully Kyle will know where he'll be in a couple
just
minutes.
A minute. Okay, great.
Seems nothing comes fast. our dreams, they're holding us back. But they're holding us back until we learn that nothing is past. Nothing is past. Take a look in the rearview mirror at a world we'll never escape. Take a look at a world we'll never leave but never reclaim. See, I've been having a real hard time. Yeah, the time is wearing me down. But it's wearing me down until I look and see what I found. Look what I found. It's all here in you. It's all here in me. I can't find the end, but I know where I'll be. Roads get longer. Days when we began and started to see how the world could be different, could be beautiful and real, and how easy to lose all that we found and what we revealed, all we revealed. It's all here. It's all here in you. It's all here in me. When you find the end, you'll know where I'll be.
And once again, that was Bob Kelly with I Know Where I'll Be. Guess we do not know where Kyle is at the at the moment.
We don't, but I do know where Bob Kelly will be on February 22nd.
Where will that be?
And that will be at the Hollywood Theater Northeast, because he is actually the musical director for Theater Moo's Lunar New Year Cabaret fundraiser. I have not met Bob yet, but I heard such great things about him that I thought, well, let's get him back to be the musical director. We've got some incredible artists that are going to be coming to sing. Maybe we might hear a story or two from some folks, but I owe Bob an email. We're talking about the set list right now. But it was so great. What a great surprise to hear his song, his lovely, lovely song.
Just in case we don't get Kyle in, we should give him his flowers. Can you tell us about the piece that he has for the New Eyes Festival?
Absolutely. Kyle's piece, I was so interested in it from the very first sentence. Kyle has this great ability to to create a dialogue that is very real, very casual. It's one of those that we say it just comes off the page. His characters are defined by how they speak. A lot of times when I'm reading a script, if I'm trying to read it quickly, I have to really pay attention of, wait, which character is speaking now? Which one is this? And try to get a sense of it. With Kyle's, they just jumped off the page. It was so clear. Every one of them had a very specific perspective. And it was hilarious. It was very funny. I think I've only met Kyle once when I was here and we were doing the general auditions, because Kyle is an actor mm-hmm. with Theater Moo. He has done shows. So then now, you know, going into the playwriting side of it was very exciting to be able to say this is an artist who is now really spreading their wings. So I'm so excited to be bringing his piece to life this weekend.
I think one of the unique things I've found about the theater community here is the immense talent that we have in mm-hmm. young actors.
Yes.
Out here, and I know that's something that's very important to you. Why do you think it's important to appeal to younger crowds?
Well, that's our future. Yeah. Something that I say is that, you know, as a theater and as an artistic leader, obviously it's very important to be fostering theater makers, but we have to foster theater goers. Otherwise, we're just playing to each other. You know, we say this all the time, especially in L.A., where we talk about you go see a show that a friend is in. And so if your friend isn't in that show, are you going to take that risk of going to see this live performance? We want to make sure that it's accessible, that it's relatable. And like I said, you know, this is our future. And in a world where everything is sound bites and social media and scrolling and only relating to each other on a screen, the importance of eye contact, the importance of actually receiving and sending out social cues in a physical world, it doesn't happen as much as it should, as we did when we were growing up, when we didn't have these rectangle things that were stuck to our bodies. And theater is, that's the conduit to that, that they can actually, if they're participating in it or if they are witness to it, that there is a reality to it. And, you know, with AI being what it is, theater is one thing that you cannot AI.
That definitely is correct. And full disclosure, the first play my daughter ever watched may not have been the play to just take a, I'm trying to think of then 6-year old to the play, but the first play that she saw was a Theater Moo play,
oh,
and
great.
That was Kung Fu Zombie Saga.
Was it the first one or the second one?
The second one.
Yes, well, you know, that's another thing that we're going to hear this weekend is the third installment, Say Mukta Vongse's final part, which is Kung Fu Zombies versus Southeast Asian Girl Scouts, which is, I mean, come on, that title alone, you know you want to come and see that.
Ironically, when my daughter hears zombies, she thinks of this play.
There you go.
Another thing that I found out that's also important to you is the goal of inclusivity and intersectionality. What are those two things? Why are they so important to you?
We're not just one layer, you know, as human beings. I am a theater maker. I am Asian American. I am Pinay. I'm Filipino. I speak English. I speak Tagalog. I'm still on Duolingo. I'm on like 700 days of Spanish. I took French. You know what I mean? Where we are all these different elements. I'm female. I'm a mom. There are so many aspects of us that we can get pigeonholed in one. You know, this generation is so great with their fluidity and their desire to challenge the social norm. They're so brave just in their gender definitions or non-definitions. And so, you know, that's all part of it, is to to look at every aspect of us and how that colors us as individuals.
I heard in an interview that you had that this first year at the helm that you're going to take a little bit of a step back and absorb the lessons you can learn from the Twin Cities community. And mm-hmm. if we've known anything the last couple months or so, we're definitely learning things from how to deal with our community at large. Why do you think that's important for you as being the new artistic director here?
Well, you know, I'm a stranger from a strange land coming in here from the West Coast. And the last thing that I want to do is say, OK, great, I'm going to come out to the Midwest and I'm going to make this just like L.A. Because it's not. And it shouldn't be. We should have that richness of diversity within just our geographical regions. So I was brought on to serve the community of the Twin Cities and Theater Moo's mission. So I need to absorb before I can reflect. I don't want to put things on that are just what I believe to be true. This theater is for everyone. And the everyone is here, and I need to get to know you all first. I need to know what it is that is important to you. What do you want to see? What are the issues that you want addressed? What do you find challenging? What do you find scary? What do you find entertaining? And the only way for me to do that is to really get myself into the community and meet as many of the folks as I can. And it's been very interesting to talk to people. I mean, everybody that I talk to, whether or not they are directly involved with Theater Moo, has deep respect for this organization. You know, the founders in the 90s were in a different struggle that we are in now, where there was really no representation. And the only work that was ever being done was very Western work. So it was about taking place like Shakespeare and having an Asian American cast in there. I still think that's an important thing to do, but I also think it's very important that we hear the voices of the community. So it's these young writers that we're bringing to the forefront. So I just want to be able to know, you know, and also on the West Coast, the AAPI demographics are so different mm-hmm. than here. Just looking at it, it was kind of entertaining to me where I went, okay, let's look at how this all breaks down and where's Filipino? And I kept going down the numbers of not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. Is it in here? You know, coming down to number seven where in LA, we're right up there. We are, you know, one of the largest populations on the West Coast. So I need to educate myself and I want to do that by learning firsthand from folks. I want to learn about the Hmong traditions. I want to learn about the Vietnamese refugees. I want to learn about the Korean adoptees because those are the majority of the populations here. And it's not something that we learned on the West Coast. I mean, we're barely taught any Asian American history, much less something that is not in our immediate surroundings. So I really want to take that time before I say, well, this is what I'm going to do, to be able to just, you know, reflect a little bit with you all, not just in my own little corner of what I think it should be.
I think at times, even with a theater company with a rich history of Theater Moo, it's also good at times to have leadership from a different area. So how do you speak to people that may have put up walls towards Theater Moo about moving forward as a theater community, Asian American theater community, for those people that may have had their differences in the past with Theater Moo?
Well, you know, I think I'm a fresh start. whatever differences there were before, I don't know what those are. And I respect if there were any, but, you know, I am not a part of whatever that was. I don't even know what that is. So my thing is really, let's just all come together. It's so very easy for us to separate into factions when, in fact, it's our unity. That's going to be our strength. That's what's going to keep us going. That's what is going to keep theater going in general, not just Theater Moo, but what I really appreciate about the Twin Cities community that I saw right away was the incredible camaraderie between the different theater organizations, the number of co-productions that are happening. And yes, a lot of that are financial decisions because it's twice as expensive to make a play, and you know, our grant cycles are changing, our funding cycles are changing. So yes, it makes economical sense for us to co-produce with each other, but I also feel that it is this desire to learn from each other. The co-productions that I'm in talks with, that's what we keep discussing with each other, is what does Theater Moo bring to the table? What do you as our co-producer bring to the table? How do we learn and grow from each other? And really just, I think now more than ever, we really just need to come together with what is going on.
And just to remind our listeners that this coming weekend, from January 23rd through the 25th, the New Eyes Festival will be taking place at the Playwright Center. We have Filipino-American Kyle Kamai, whose play, Couchlocked, I believe.
Couchlocked, yes.
Will be debuting. So hopefully in the future we will have Kyle on the show. We like to keep it lighthearted towards the end of our show. You spoke that you're a mother.
Yes.
Are there any particular dishes of Filipino that you might be able to make that you're fond of?
It's so funny because my mom is the that great Filipino mom who did it all for us.
Okay.
So I was never taught how to cook. I had to learn how to cook Filipino dishes as an adult. So my son, who's 22 now, and he is half British, and he will just look at me and go, he calls it chicken and rice, but we all know what that is. It's arroz caldo. He loves his Filipino breakfasts because he'll look at me and he go, you know, can we have garlic rice and longo? So I will, those are his, you know, my meal prep for him are always Filipino breakfasts that are in the fridge for him. But no, yes. So definitely chicken adobo. And I do it in an Instant Pot now.
Mm.
So
you're modernized, very fusion-ish.
I know. And my brother does not do it that way. He will, you know, he does it the old fashioned way. He marinates, he simmers it and everything. So yes. So there's the, you know, those basic dishes that I do. And then I also do, again, cause I mentioned, you know, my son's father is British. So I do a Filipino version of shepherd's pie.
And one last question. Do you have any go-to karaoke songs?
Oh, man. You know, when I was singing more, when my voice was in better shape, it was always a Pat Benatar song.